Dino, how are you doing today, my friend?
Excellent, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. You were in the sports night chair last night, correct?
I was, so.
Are you getting used to staying up until midnight again?
I'm enjoying it again, yeah. I haven't done it in that long. Well, I haven't worked until midnight in a while, but it's fun. You know, you have no traffic going home. It's nice and easy. Everybody's asleep. You can do whatever you want. Stay up late.
And it is kind of
like being a kid again.
I always say too, it's kind of nice just to recap everything that happened, right? It's a little frustrating if you're watching overtime and you're waiting for a game to end. But last night was kind of a quiet night. You guys could just recap everything that happened and get us set for a busy Tuesday, hey?
Yeah, and it was good. You had Deflategate that kind of broke late in the afternoon, so that was it was an interesting show. Hearing the different opinions of people on the suspension. So
yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't like the Patriots, but even I think four games is pretty excessive. I think he'll appeal it down to two, and
yeah,
we'll forget about this in a few months.
I'm
but
sure
who knows?
Happen, yeah.
We'll get into more Deflategate stuff later on in the show. But Dino, I want to talk to you about some of the CHL playoffs that's going on. The WHL finals. Kelowna is out to a 3-0 series lead. I am shocked by this. I had Brandon winning this series. I don't think anyone had Kelowna up 3-0. After the first three games. How shocked are you that the Rockets are out to a pretty big lead here?
Yeah, pretty surprised. I think you're right. I don't think anybody suspected that. I think most people suspected this series was going to go 7 games, and it's going to be hard-pressed to go 7 games now for, you know, the Brandon Weekends are hoping that that happens. But I don't think anybody thought that they would be down 3-0, especially after they were able to host the first two games at the Keystone Center in Brandon. And this is pretty surprising to me, for sure. I didn't think that the goaltending edge would go to Kelowna in this series, but it has, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why the Rockets are up 3-0, especially, you know, last night. Some of the goals were pretty tough to pin on the goaltender. There was some pretty pinpoint passing going on. But early in the series, I don't think Jordan Paperny was playing up to his level, and Jackson Whistle was.
This is a 2-3-2 series, correct, Dean?
Yes, it is, yeah.
I personally
makes it
can't,
even tougher for Brandon.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not a fan of the 2-3-2, because I think it favors the team who has the 3 straight games. And obviously, you don't anticipate them to be up 2-0, but Kelowna's got 2 chances now to knock off Brandon on home ice. Like, isn't that a distinct advantage to the team getting 3 straight?
Well, I guess it forces you to take care of business at home, right?
Yeah.
Like, you do get the first 2 games on home ice, and you should be able to win at least one of those games, or else then you are going to be at a disadvantage in the 2-3-2 series. So it forces you to take care of business at home, and the Weekings didn't, and now they've put themselves in this position.
Oiler fans are paying close attention to the series. Obviously, Leon Draisaitl's playing for the Kelowna Rockets, Oiler draft pick. How have you thought Draisaitl's played so far in the playoffs?
Yeah, he's been excellent. Scored a shorty last night. He's been, you know, physically controlling the puck and shielding the puck from opponents. He's been good in his own end, picking up the late guys and things like that. I thought he's been excellent on faceoffs. I think he's got 5 points in the first 3 games, and he's been a big body, a big load that the Brandon Weekings haven't been able to contain, and it's great to see for Oiler fans, you know, after seeing glimpses of it with the Edmonton Oilers this year. And listen, I think there's, ever since the Oilers won the draft lottery and we look at the center depth, people have started talking about maybe Leon Draisaitl's expendable. And my thought process is why? You know, now that you just finally got all this center depth, why do you want to get rid of some of it? I mean, if this guy is your number 3 center down the road, that is absolutely excellent, because he's good defensively, he's big, he's good on the face-off, and he can put up points. So I think the Oilers are in a really good position and should be extremely happy with the way Draisaitl's performing for the Kelowna Rockets this year.
Dean Millard joining us. You can catch him on the Pipeline Show, the Golf Show, and All Sports Weekend. Rourke Sharche for Kelowna has definitely been pulling his weight so far in this series. If he wasn't playing, Dino, would this series would have a different result, wouldn't it?
Well, I think definitely, and you know, it's funny, when we were doing our predictions, you know, everybody that was out there wasn't expecting Rourke Sharche to be in the lineup, and that was one of the reasons why Brandon got so much of the edge from everybody, is that this guy scored 48 goals during the regular season and, you know, has the ability to get scorching red hot as he did. I mean, I think he had 30 goals before the end of November this season or something like that, something ridiculous. And you take that out of the lineup and you're in big trouble. But he's healthy, he's playing, and he's been scoring 3 goals in the series so far in all 3 games, and he's chipped in with a few assists as well. So, you know, certainly when I was making my prediction, I wasn't expecting this guy to play because he didn't play all the games against Portland, and I, you know, was a little bit ineffective in his last game that he played before he sat out. So this guy is a difference maker for sure. 48 goals in the regular season, and he's coming through in the WHL final.
Brandon's down 0-3 in this series to Kelowna, but we've talked a lot, Dino, about how this Brandon team is very, very good, and they're going to be back in this position maybe for the next 2 or 3 years. They have a lot of young talent like Nolan Patrick, Ivan Provorov. Who has been pulling their weight for this Brandon team through 3 games so far?
I think Nolan Patrick's been pretty good. Scored a tap-in goal the other night, had an assist last night. Ivan Provorov, I think, has struggled a little bit in this series. I think he's minus three last night, and -7 overall. You know, Morgan Klimchuk has been okay. Peter Quenneville scored last night, but John Quenneville hasn't done anything in this series. You know, Tim McGauley's been okay. But you know what it is, Mark, is that these guys have just been okay. And they're the best players on the Brandon Wheatking team, and they haven't been able to match what the best players on the Kelowna Rockets team have been able to do. We talked about Rourke Sharche. Merkley has 5 or 6 points in this series. Josh Morrissey had 2 points last night in the game. These are players, and then there's Draisaitl with 5 points in the series. The better players for Kelowna are stepping up more than the better players and the big players for the Miranda Weekings are doing it. And as much as goaltending has been an issue, last night notwithstanding, that's another reason why it's 3-0 for the Kelowna Rockets.
We'll see if the Kelowna Rockets can wrap it up. Game 4 goes Wednesday night from Kelowna, then Game 5 goes Friday evening as Dean Millard joins us here from the Pipeline Show, the Golf Show, and All Sports Weekend. Quickly, let's just jump out east for one question. Through 3 games, Oshawa has a 2-1 lead over Erie. Is that a surprise to you, Dean?
Sort of, although, you know, Oshawa at home, they get the last line matchup, and for the first 2 games in Oshawa, Josh Brown and Dakota Maramis did a really good job of Connor McDavid, allowed him just 1 point. You get back to Erie last night where the Generals have last change, and those 2 defensemen are combined -5, while Connor McDavid has 2 points. So I think it's just about the matchup, and I wouldn't be surprised if this one goes is a homer series in which the home team wins every game except for maybe Game 7 when Erie might be able to pull it out. And Connor McDavid, you know, the best players like to step up at the best times. Well, he'll have to do that against that defense pairing and when his home club or his visiting club doesn't have last change. So we'll see how that series goes. But I'm a little bit surprised because I thought Erie was going to win that series, but I didn't think it was going to be easy.
Dino, following along on Twitter, Guy Flaming is your co-host on the Pipeline Show. You guys have been covering Auston Matthews quite a bit over the last maybe year or so. For those who don't know, he's likely the first overall pick in 2016. And there's a story that came out the last few days about him maybe going to Europe. Now, for those who don't know, Dean, can you just bring everyone up to speed of what exactly is going on with Auston Matthews? Has he signed somewhere yet, or is he committed anywhere yet? What's going on?
Yeah, nothing as of yet. And he was scheduled to be on the Pipeline Show tonight, but in light of everything that's been going on, they've decided to give him a few days with his family to discuss things and not do any radio interviews or media interviews for that matter. We have extended the olive branch to Pat Brisson, his agent, to see if he'd like to come on and talk about the situation. But what it is this is a kid that played for the U.S. National Development Program this year, set records, broke Patrick Kane's record for points in the season with over 116 points. And he has a decision to make. He can either go and play NCAA college. There's 5 schools, the 2 Boston schools, BU and BC, North Dakota, Denver, and Michigan, that are all chasing him. His WHL rights are held by the Everett Silvertips. So if he wants to play in the CHL, that's where he'd play because he's from Scottsdale, Arizona, so he's in the WHL region. But over the weekend, this story came out that he is considering playing in the Swiss Elite League next year, playing in Switzerland. And, you know, it would be for Mark Crawford's team, who is coaching over there, former Stanley Cup winner, and the guy that didn't pick Wayne Gretzky for the shootout. Hopefully he'll pick Auston Matthews in a shootout if it comes down to it. But yeah, so that's the situation. There was a report that he signed. But the Matthews camp is saying no decision has been made yet. We're weighing our options. So he was supposed to join us, and then all this came out, and they've kind of backed off doing any kind of media for right now. So hopefully we will get Austin Matthews in the next little while. But failing that, hopefully we talk to Pat Brisson tonight. It's an interesting situation. It's not the first time a draft-eligible player has played pro hockey in Europe. I mean, you have to look. William Nylander did it. Oscar Klefbom did it. Kevin Fiala, lots of guys do it. But you don't often see North American kids going over to Europe unless they have any kind of ties to Europe. And as I know, I don't think he has any ties to Switzerland or anything like that. So real interesting story to watch, maybe a bit of a trendsetter. You know, the pros and cons, I don't know what they are in his mind. But you've got three different options in front of you, and only one of them will pay you $500,000 a year. So that might be a motivating factor for Austin Matthews. I'm not really sure.
Dean, if the Matthews camp came to you and said, Dean, you're going to make this decision for Austin, what would you tell him to do? Would you tell him to stick in the CHL, NCAA, or would you say, hey, kid, go get paid overseas for a season?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of guys going to play in the NCAA for one season. I don't really know what the reasoning behind it. You're not going to get your degree in 1 year unless you're Superman and you can.
Or you're Doogie Howser.
Yeah, maybe Doogie Howser could do it for sure. I don't know how good he was. I don't know what his Corsi was like, though, so I'm not really sure about that. But listen, if you're playing 1 year, play in the WHL or play pro, because you want to compare. You want to get yourself as close to pro ready as you possibly can. And no offense to the NCAA, but I think that's more of a marathon than a sprint, whereas you can go and play 72 games. It's as close to, plus playoffs hopefully, which is close to a pro schedule. So or go play pro and play in Europe if that's the case. But those are probably the two options for a one-and-done type guy. I just don't see what playing 40 college games. If you want to go and you want to play 2 or 3 years in college, then I have no problem because you're developing yourself. But for guys that are already going to be gone the next year playing in the NHL, then I would probably recommend playing in pro or playing in the Western Hockey League.
Dino, I'll get you out of here on this one. One of the many hats you wear on the station is also the host of the Freedom Forward pregame show around the Edmonton Oilers. The OKC Barons have played 3 games in the second round of the playoffs. Are you surprised that Darnell Nurse hasn't suited up in any of these games for the Oilers or for the Barons just yet?
Not really. I guess he's a younger player. They have their setup. It's the playoffs, and maybe we'll see him get in there now that they're behind and they want to shake things up a little bit. But, after the first round victory, I think you want to go with what you have. And until there's kind of an injury or somebody really, really struggles, you probably don't make a change. So not terribly surprised by it.
Dino, I know you guys are hoping to have Austin Matthews on the program tonight on the Pipeline Show, but who else can we look forward to hearing tonight from 7 to 9 on the station?
Yes, we are going to be talking to Mike Luck, who's the Oshawa Generals play-by-play, Larry Fisher, who's out covering the Kelowna-Brandon series, Parker Weatherspoon from the Tri-City Americans will join us, and as you were just talking about, the AHL, Chris Westcott from the Edmonton Oilers will stop by to talk about what's going on with the Barons.
Make sure you bring up the New England Patriots with Chris, because I know he's a big Buffalo Bills fan, so he's probably very excited that the head honcho's gone for at least 4 games to start the season. I'm sure he'll be pretty fired up.
Excellent, for sure. I'll mention that.
Awesome. Dino, thanks for your time today. We'll tune into the Pipeline Show tonight and the Golf Show tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, Mark.